Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Next month, Virginians pick a new governor, and the race is surprisingly tight. The outcome could resonate around the country. Former Governor Terry McAuliffe, Democrat, is running for a second term, and polls show him a hair ahead of Republican businessman Glenn Youngkin. Let's break it down now with Jessica Taylor, editor for the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter. Hey, Jessica.
Hi there.
Hi, and we also have Kyle Kondik, managing editor of Sabatow's Crystal Ball, a nonpartisan election forecasting newsletter from the University of Virginia. Kyle, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's set the broader national stakes here. I live in Northern Virginia outside of D.C., and oh my, the TV ads. Jessica, Republicans haven't won statewide for a decade. What would a Youngkin win mean for the national GOP?
I live here in Northern Virginia, too, and you cannot turn on the TV and not see these ads. And for people like me and Kyle, that we watch these during the day and then you're trying to, you know, watch Jeopardy at night and they're nonstop, certainly. I mean, as you mentioned, they've sort of been in – Republicans have been sort of in this political wilderness for a dozen years. And – and the state has moved more toward Democrats to sort of the apex of Biden winning the state by 10 points last year. But the fact that it is competitive speaks to how bad the national mood has soured on Biden. And I think it's really dependent upon them getting those voters back out. And I think you have a lot of voters that are just unenthused. I think they're tired of voting. It's been a really exhausting 4 years. We just came off an exhausting election cycle. And again, here in Virginia, it really seems like we vote every single year. And I think they're also looking for, you know, results from the White House and from the Democratic Congress. So we're really seeing an enthusiasm gap there. So I think, you know, a Youngkin victory, which is possible, certainly. I mean, it's still harder for him to do based on sort of the changing demographics of the state. It really would mean, I think, a backlash to what voters in the state are seeing right now come out of Washington and out of Richmond, because remember, now Democrats also control all of the state levers as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you're describing, the polls have narrowed it down to maybe 2 points or so, according to 538. Kyle, talk a little bit more about the Democrats and what's on the line for them in Virginia and beyond.
Well, look, I mean, this is a race that I guess based on where Virginia is right now, Democrats probably feel like they should win. You know, to Jessica's point, you know, there's been this trade-off in the electorate across the country going on the past several years in which Republicans have been making a lot of gains with white working class voters, particularly in kind of small cities and rural areas, whereas Democrats have been picking up a lot of particularly white college age or college educated voters in kind of big growing suburban areas. That trade-off hasn't worked great for Democrats in like the Midwest, but it's worked out really well for them in a state like Virginia that has this, you know, growing, highly educated and diverse, you know, kind of mega area in Northern Virginia. And, you know, Republicans have gained in some parts of the state, but those parts of the state are generally pretty rural and don't cast that many votes. And Democrats have gained a lot in sort of the more populous areas. But, you know, the Virginia governor's race also has this long tradition of it's one of the first big races after a presidential election. You know, it's kind of slim pickings for elections in these odd numbered years. But it's sometimes seen as a referendum on the White House, and since the 70s, Terry McAuliffe actually was the only Democrat to win while his party controlled the White House. Every other time, the governor's race has gone against the presidential party. So there's that history that that McAuliffe is working against.
Well, let's talk about McAuliffe and his message. Yesterday, he spoke on MSNBC about a big issue that's not even on the ballot in Virginia. Let's take a listen.
We don't want the Texas abortion laws in Virginia. We don't want Georgia's anti-voting laws. But that's what you'll get if Democrats don't get out and vote and understand how important this election is to their future.
So, Jessica, the McAuliffe ads that we've all been watching have highlighted abortion rights, as we heard, and also linking Youngkin with Donald Trump. What's the broader narrative the McAuliffe camp is trying to frame here?
Well, they need to sort of make him into this Trumpian-style Republican and as an embodiment of the rest of the Republican Party and sort of this lurch on state rights and on abortion that you're seeing in far more conservative states than Virginia. And, you know, Youngkin, I think he has a weakness on that. In fact, there was a tracker clip that caught him essentially saying that, you know, he knew he couldn't talk about abortion the way he really wanted to because that would lose him suburban women and independence. And that's exactly right. So that's why you're seeing McAuliffe push this. Again, when you have what is sort of a low engagement election, they have to get this message out there. They have to give people a reason to vote. In the same way that, you know, in the California recall, which, I mean, California is far bluer than Virginia. There had to be some impetus to sort of, I think, you know, scare tactics work sometimes, and which party is sort of the angriest, to have someone like Larry Elder in that case that was going to represent a very radical shift. Here's what's going to happen if you don't vote. So here's McAuliffe saying, here's what could happen about abortion. They could bring back sort of Trumpian style politics. But I think with Youngkin too, I mean, he's a you know, a capital investment guy, a businessman. I mean, he comes
private
off as
equity
sort of
guy,
more,
right? The Carlyle group.
Yeah, I mean, he comes off as more sort of Mitt Romney-esque than, you know, Trumpian, really. Certainly there are ways that he is trying to appeal to that Trumpian base that he also needs. It's a very narrow needle for him to thread. But Youngkin, I mean, they really hope he's far more Bob McDonnell, who was the last successful Republican governor before he had a scandal also as he left office, than perhaps Ed Gillespie, who lost handily in 2017 to Ralph Northam, who really was a more establishment type Republican. He'd been RNC chair, was the Bush administration, but he was sort of so sullied by Trump and had to move far to the right that he ended up handily losing.
Kyle, let's talk a little bit more about Glenn Youngkin, political newcomer from the private equity world. Let's take a listen to him speaking to a CBS affiliate last month.
I want to get Virginia moving. I want to get people back to work. I want our children in school 5 days a week. I want to make sure that Virginians have the opportunity to live their dreams. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to get our schools moving again. And we're going to make our communities safe.
So he's talking about neighborhoods, communities safe, a lot of ads about parents and schools. Kyle, what is the broader strategy here?
I think the Youngkin team really feel like they got Terry McAuliffe to commit what they consider to be a pretty significant gaffe. There was a recent debate in which McAuliffe was quoted as saying effectively that, you know, the parents kind of need to, you know, let teachers teach and let public schools come up with their own curriculum. And, you know, Youngkin has really aggressively gone after McAuliffe on this issue. And I think that Republicans sort of see an opening that, you know, after a year in which, you know, kids were home from school, you know, parents were sort of exposed more to what was going on in schools. There's a lot of kind of grassroots anger, particularly in some parts of Northern Virginia, about education in general, that Youngkin feels like he has a winning issue on this. You know, and additionally, I think Youngkin is effectively kind of a mainstream conservative Republican. And, you know, he's hitting on some of the themes that a lot of Republicans hit on, you know, lower taxes and the economy and not wanting to essentially just to regulate as much as Democrats do. But, you know, the Youngkin folks, I think, really hope that this election is about education and that that's an issue that often breaks in favor of Democrats, but they feel like they might have something to work with this time around.
Okay. And to both of you, maybe Kyle first, how do you explain the traction that Youngkin seems to be getting, at least in the polls?
Look, I guess I'm not that surprised that this race is close, you know, especially since, you know, Republicans had kind of more extreme, kind of fringier candidates they could have picked. And they decided to go with Youngkin instead, which I think was probably a smart choice. Youngkin brings a lot to the table in terms of his own his ability to self-fund. He's someone who hasn't run in the past, which has pluses and minuses. But one positive thing for Youngkin is that he doesn't have a previous, you know, voting or governing record, which can sort of allows you to kind of run the race you want without really having much of a track record. And then you also just have the history here. The Democrats hold the White House. This can often be a backlash vote against the White House. You know, Joe Biden is weaker now than he was a few months ago. So you kind of put all this stuff together. And again, it's not shocking to me that that it's close. I guess at the end of the day, I'd probably be more surprised if Youngkin won than McAuliffe did, but not a shock that it's a competitive race.
Jessica?
Yeah, I'm not as shocked either, because I do think this one ends up being competitive in some way. And again, where you see Biden's numbers falling, that's reflective in this. And again, I think Republicans put up a good candidate. I agree with Kyle. I think Youngkin was probably the best nominee that they could have gotten. Some of the other ones, I think, really may not have made this race competitive. So they're running a good candidate. They've got the environment for them. And I mean, McAuliffe also, we should note too, Virginia is the only state that does not allow governors to run for reelection. You cannot serve consecutive terms. So he's trying to be just the second governor ever to be reelected in non-consecutive terms, the first from the same party. But he is also sort of the de facto incumbent because he has been the governor. So you can point to things he did in office where, as Kyle mentioned as well, you have Youngkin that can point to sort of his businesses, and that's sort of been a model that Republicans have been successful with in the past, and they do hope that can appeal to sort of these suburban, exurban voters. That's where Youngkin really has to make up the difference because that's the fastest growing areas, but he's still got to get out the rural vote too.
Real quick, Jessica, President Obama is going to campaign with McAuliffe. What's going on there?
Listen, he needs to juice turnout. That's the bottom line. You can't be – he's really got to stress that you can't sort of be complacent here. And that's why I think you're seeing him bring out the big guns. I mean, I think Obama might be a better, more effective surrogate at this point than Biden, but we'll see.
All right. Jessica Taylor, analyst at the Cook Political Report, and Kyle Condick at the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.